You ever get that feeling trying to keep up with AI? It's like sprinting, but never quite crossing the finish
Oh,
line.
absolutely.
Just when you think you've kind of got a handle on it, boom, something totally new pops up.
Yeah.
Feels like sci-fi sometimes.
Yeah.
It can be a bit
It
much.
really can. The speed is just incredible, which makes it even more important, I think, to really dig in and understand the big shifts happening underneath all the noise.
Right. And that's exactly what we're here for. Welcome to the deep dive. We do the digging so you don't have to wade through everything. Today, we're jumping headfirst into, the whole landscape of artificial intelligence, but also how it connects or maybe clashes with human intelligence.
And we've got some really interesting stuff to draw on. There's the latest issue of Nexus, exploring the frontiers of intelligence, for starters.
Yeah, and interviews with some, real heavyweights, Geoffrey Hinton, Demis Hassabis, Eric Schmidt. Plus, this future scenario thing, AI 2027. Sounds intriguing.
It is. And we've also pulled in articles from Psychology Today and Forbes looking specifically at emotional intelligence, our EQ, in this age of AI.
Okay, so what's the mission today for you, our listener, the learner?
Well, basically, we want to cut through the clutter. We'll pull out the most important takeaways, maybe some surprising facts, and definitely the different viewpoints from all these sources.
So you get a clearer picture of where AI might be going, and crucially, why our human skills, especially emotional ones, still really matter.
Exactly. We're really looking at two main strands here. First, just the sheer speed of AI development and, the risks and potentials that come with that.
And second, this idea of human emotional intelligence, why it's not becoming obsolete, maybe even becoming more important.
Precisely. So, where should we kick things off?
Let's start with that Nexus publication.
Oh.
You said their editorial points to an evolution in their focus.
Yes, that's right. What's really noticeable is how they're deliberately zeroing in on that intersection, AI and human intelligence.
Not just separate things anymore.
No, exactly. They're making the case that you can't really understand one without the other now. How our own intelligence, emotional, cognitive, even physical well-being connects with AI systems. It's becoming essential knowledge, they argue.
That makes a lot of sense. It's not just about the machines getting smarter in isolation. It's about us living and working alongside them. And you mentioned Nexus is also ramping up focus on AI governance and ethics. Why the big push there now?
Well, the editorial suggests we need to think bigger than just, preventing bad things from happening with AI. Harm mitigation is crucial, obviously, but
But not the whole story.
right, they're talking about actively stewarding AI development towards human flourishing. It's a shift from a defensive posture to a more aspirational one.
Human flourishing. I like the sound of that. The flourishing imperative, you call
Yeah.
it. So moving beyond just compliance checklists.
Exactly. Less about just ticking boxes, more about genuinely aiming for AI that enhances our lives in meaningful ways.
Okay, so how does that translate into like actual policy or practice? Are there examples?
Yeah, the editorial mentions things like the EU AI Act, the NIST framework over in the US. These aren't just dry technical standards anymore. They're starting to bake in principles around human agency, dignity, well-being.
So protecting fundamental human values.
And initiatives like the Global AI Observatory are trying to move the conversation towards actually measuring AI's impact on these things, not just talking about abstract ethics.
So asking the tough questions. Does this tech actually help us live better lives? And what about those human flourishing impact assessments, HFIAs and companies? That sounds new.
It's an emerging idea, yeah.
Right.
HFIAs push companies to look beyond just the bottom line or efficiency gains.
Right.
Let's say, how does this AI system affect people's autonomy,
Right.
their ability to connect meaningfully with others? Does it expand our choices, strengthen relationships, or does it narrow them?
That feels, much more centered on the human experience.
Yeah.
And participatory governance,
Yeah.
getting citizens involved. How does that fit the flourishing idea?
Well, the editorial argues that, flourishing can't just be dictated from the top down.
Makes sense.
So things like citizen assemblies or community-led algorithm audits, these are ways to bring diverse public voices into the process. It acknowledges that the people affected by AI should have a say in how it's shaped. It's about making AI development more democratic, really.
A powerful idea, but I imagine pretty challenging to implement effectively.
Oh, definitely. The editorial is realistic about the hurdles. You've got misaligned incentives, different groups wanting different things.
Like corporations versus public interest?
Sometimes, yeah. And regulatory efforts are fragmented across countries. Plus, the tech itself just moves so darn fast, it's hard for governance to keep pace.
Okay, that gives us a good sense of the Nexus perspective, this push towards flourishing and the governance challenges. Now, let's get into those big names they interviewed. Jeffrey Hinton first, the godfather of AI. Sounds like he's ringing some alarm bells.
He really is. And it's particularly impactful coming from him, someone so foundational to the field. His CBS interview, for instance, touched on his pioneering work, sure. But the main takeaway was his decision to leave Google.
Why did he leave? What's his core worry?
His core worry is the speed, the rapid, unchecked progress of AI. He points to the lack of serious regulation and the fact that big tech companies are driven so hard by profit.
And he sees that combination as dangerous.
Extremely. He voiced concerns about it, enabling more authoritarianism, creating new tools for cyber attacks. He even talks about the potential down the line for an existential threat to humanity itself.
Wow. Existential threat. That's heavy. Especially from him.
It's a really stark warning, yeah. You can't easily dismiss it when it comes from someone like Hinton.
No, you really can't. Okay, so that's one end of the spectrum. Let's pivot to Demis Hassabis, CEO of Google DeepMind. His view seems, well, quite different. More focused on the potential of AGI, artificial general intelligence.
That's right. His 60 Minutes interview really showcased the incredible progress DeepMind is making towards AGI. You know, AI that could match or even surpass human intellect across the board.
What kind of progress are we talking about? Any specific examples?
Well, they highlighted projects like Astra AI that can see and interpret the visual world in really sophisticated ways, and Gemini, which is designed for tackling super complex, multi-step tasks. These aren't just theoretical anymore. They're showing real capability.
Impressive stuff. And what's the upside Hassabis sees? What's the big dream with AGI?
The dream is huge. Revolutionizing fields like drug discovery, materials science, healthcare, fundamentally changing our ability to solve big problems. He talks about achieving radical abundance.
Radical abundance, meaning?
A future where AI helps overcome scarcity, cures diseases, tackles climate change. It's a very optimistic vision of technology solving humanity's grand challenges.
Okay, that's a compelling vision. But surely, even with that optimism, they must be grappling with the safety questions, the control problem.
Oh, absolutely. The interview didn't shy away from that. They discussed the risks misused by bad actors, the challenge of ensuring we can actually control these super intelligent systems. Hassabis stressed the need for international cooperation on safety.
And he mentioned something about teaching AI morality.
Yeah, that was fascinating. Exploring how you might actually instill ethical principles or moral reasoning into an AI. It's a massive, complex undertaking, but they see it as necessary.
Teaching AI morality.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay. So we have Hinton's caution, Hassabis' AGI ambition. What about Eric Schmidt? Former Google CEO, what's his take?
Schmidt brings more of a strategic, maybe geopolitical perspective. He zeroed in on three key advancements he finds particularly game-changing right now.
Okay, what are they?
First, AI with what he calls an infinite context window, basically, the ability to process and understand vastly more information, leading to much deeper insights. Second, increasingly sophisticated autonomous AI agent systems that can learn and act on their own.
Right.
And third, text-to-action systems.
Yeah.
AI that doesn't just generate text or images, but can actually write working code, take actions in the digital world.
Those all sound like major leaps.
Yeah.
What are his main concerns attached to these?
His big worry is proliferation, especially powerful open source models becoming widely available outside, say, Western labs or governments.
The control issue again, but maybe more about who has access.
Exactly. He's concerned about misuse by rogue states or other actors, so he's calling for more international cooperation, things like agreements to notify others when you're training a massive model, common safety protocols, ways to contain potential problems.
He brings up the U.S.-China competition too, right?
Yes, definitely. He acknowledges China's rapid progress in AI research, but also notes how things like U.S. export restrictions on advanced chips create challenges for them. It highlights that whole interplay between tech, economics, and global power dynamics.
Okay, this paints a really complex picture. Fast progress, huge potential, serious risks, geopolitical maneuvering. Which brings us nicely to that AI 2027 scenario. Tell us about that. What future does it sketch out?
AI 2027 is basically a thought experiment, a projection of what could happen if AI development continues at its current breakneck pace over the next few years. It suggests the impact might dwarf even the Industrial Revolution.
Wow. How does it illustrate that?
It uses a fictional company, Open Brain, as a sort of case study. It shows a progression from the AI assistants we have now to AI that can code better than humans. And then this is the key part, AI systems that can actually do original AI research themselves.
Whoa, wait. AI designing better AI?
That's the core idea.
Yeah.
AI automating its own R&D. This could lead to an acceleration curve that's hard to even imagine truly exponential progress.
That is, yeah, mind-bending is the word. What else does this scenario touch on?
Well, it definitely highlights the geopolitical angle, that U.S.-China tech race becoming even more intense. But critically, it stresses the alignment problem.
Making sure AI goals align with human goals.
Exactly. As systems get super powerful and maybe operate in ways we don't fully understand, how do we ensure they remain beneficial and controllable? That becomes the crucial challenge. It also briefly touches on public reaction, likely a mix of excitement, fear, confusion.
Yeah, you can imagine the societal disruption. Job displacement worries, ethical dilemmas. Okay, so we've covered the tech's trajectory, the governance needs, the visionary perspectives, the potential future shock. Let's pivot now firmly to the human side, those articles on emotional intelligence. First, Psychology Today on artificial compassion. Can AI actually feel empathy?
The short answer, according to that article, is no. It argues that AI can get incredibly good at mimicking empathy, saying the right words, adopting the right tone.
But it's not real.
It's not real in the human sense. True empathy, the article contends, is built on shared experience, vulnerability, dealing with messy human imperfection. Things an algorithm, however sophisticated, just doesn't have.
So it's like a really good actor playing a part.
Kind of, yeah. And the concern raised is actually quite profound. If we get too used to AI's simulated, perhaps overly perfect empathy, could it actually dull our own capacity for the real thing? We might become less tolerant of actual human messiness, less willing to put in the effort that genuine connection requires. If AI always says the perfect, supportive thing, maybe real people start to seem disappointing. It suggests authentic emotional presence is something uniquely human we shouldn't try to outsource.
That's a really interesting and slightly worrying thought. Okay, but then there's the Forbes piece saying high EQ actually helps people use AI better. That sounds more positive.
It is. This article makes the case that people with strong emotional intelligence, good communicators, people sensitive to context and nuance are actually better at getting good results from things like ChatGPT or other generative AI.
How does that work? Why would EQ help you talk to a machine?
Because the same skills apply. Breaking down a complex request, providing the right background information, understanding how phrasing affects the outcome. These are things emotionally intelligent people often do well when interacting with humans.
Ah, so it's about effective communication, whether it's with a person or a prompt box.
Exactly. The article even draws parallels to neuropsychology, how we structure thoughts and communication for clarity. It suggests our human interaction skills give us an edge in interacting effectively with AI, too.
That's a fascinating twist. Our soft skills make us better AI whisperers.
Yeah.
Okay, and another Forbes piece looked at EQ, specifically in leadership, right? In the AI-driven workplace.
Yes, and it uses a great little anecdote. An AI system trying to handle a sensitive employee issue sounded empathetic on the surface, but made some really jarring, insensitive errors because it lacked genuine understanding.
Ouch. A good reminder that simulation isn't understanding.
Precisely. It highlights the gap. So the advice for managers is clear. Don't let AI replace human connection. You still need to prioritize face-to-face interaction, maybe even invest more in emotional intelligence training for your teams.
So use AI strategically, maybe for tasks, but not for core human leadership functions.
Right. Use it to support people, automate routine stuff, free up time for human connection, but don't let it erode that connection itself.
Okay, makes sense. And finally, one more Forbes piece arguing that emotions aren't the enemy of good decisions, but actually key to them. That cuts against the grain a bit.
It really does challenge that old idea of logic versus emotion, doesn't it? The argument here is that emotions aren't just noise that gets in the way of rational thought. They're actually vital data.
Data? How so?
Emotions help us prioritize what's important. They give meaning to information. They help us navigate complex, ambiguous situations where pure logic might fall short. Our gut feelings, our sense of alignment, these are valuable inputs.
So ignoring your feelings might actually lead to worse decisions.
That's the contention. The article talks about a more holistic decision-making approach, being aware of your emotional state, those subtle subjective cues, even physical responses. It cites neuroscientists like Damasio and Barrett, whose work shows how crucial emotional processing is for effective choices.
Interesting. So integrating emotion leads to better, maybe more sustainable decisions.
Yes, decisions that feel more aligned, that tap into creativity, that consider the human impact more fully. It's about whole person intelligence, not just the purely analytical part.
Wow, okay. We have covered a lot of ground. Let's try and distill this. If you had to pull out the absolute core insights for our listener from this whole deep dive, what would they be?
Okay, three main things, I think. First, the pace of AI progress is real, it's accelerating, and it's potentially transformative in ways we're still trying to grasp.
Right. It's not science fiction anymore.
No. Second, the ethics and governance side isn't a sideshow. It's becoming absolutely central. Figuring out how to steer this powerful technology towards genuine human benefit is maybe the critical task.
The flourishing imperative.
Exactly. And third, despite all this amazing AI capability, our human intelligence, particularly our emotional intelligence, empathy, nuanced understanding, connection, emotionally aware, decision-making isn't fading away. If anything, it's becoming more valuable, more essential.
So it seems the takeaway is, yes, AI offers incredible tools and potential, but we absolutely cannot neglect our own human capabilities. Understanding AI's limits and actively nurturing our empathy, our EQ, that's going to be key to navigating whatever future AI brings.
Couldn't have said it better myself. That interplay between artificial and human intelligence, that's the space to watch and the space where we need to be smart, both intellectually and emotionally.
A really fascinating and maybe slightly daunting picture. This has been incredibly insightful. So here's something for you, our listener, to chew on after this deep dive. Thinking about everything we've discussed, the speed, the ethics, the human element, what single aspect of either AI development or our own human intelligence feels most compelling or maybe most concerning to you as we look ahead?
Yeah.
Why? Worth pondering that complex relationship. Thanks for joining us.